sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Amen. God bless my heart tonight. Thank the Lord for that. It's a wonderful thing when we can sing to the Lord praises that honor and glorify the Lord, and express from our hearts, and almost like a prayer that we put in song, how good the Lord has been to us and has had compassion on us. And thank the Lord for that sweet prayer, brother. The Lord, I believe, was with you, and I feel he was with me, and I believe with all of us as we look together to the Lord and just ask him to be with us. Isn't it good to know we've got a God who hears the cries of his children and already knows what we stand in need of before we ask, and is supplying those things to us just as he has promised. Tonight, as I stand before you, I do need your prayers, that the Lord would just bless me for a little while to supply what I stand in need of and what you stand in need of, so that we'll go out the door tonight saying it's good to have been at the house of the Lord. And behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And to be a doorkeeper at the house of God is so far better than anything we could have in this world. And so thank the Lord for this another opportunity for being here. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to turn to a passage of Scripture that's been on my mind, and I've got a whole bunch of scriptures that have been on my mind, and trying to center my thoughts as upon that which the Lord would have us to bring tonight. And I feel this is where I should be. I hope and pray that's the case, but you just pray for me. I already feel a great peace tonight about what the Lord has already given us here. The singing of the hymns, the prayer that's been offered, just the fellowship has meant so very much to me, to know there are brethren of like precious faith that we have in this world who pray for us and love us, and that as we face life and its troubles, we're not alone even in this world. We heard on Wednesday night, Brother Eddie was so blessed to preach on what a friend we have in Jesus. And he talked about how we have so many friends in this world that are a blessing to us. But if we had no friends in this world that were a blessing to us, the fact we have Jesus, that's a sufficiency right there, just that we have him. But the Lord loved us enough that not only did he give us himself, but he allowed us to have others of God's little children that help us along in this world. And I want to say to you tonight that you've been a blessing to me and a help to me. And I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. And the memories and the fellowship that we've had down through the years, I treasure. And I thank the Lord for what he's allowed me to have in his church and in the communion of the saints, and feeling his manifest presence just for a moment. If you can just feel it for a moment, it just makes all the dark clouds kind of go away and all the problems subside for a while, and we're able to rest in the wonderful promises of Almighty God. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's look at Colossians, the writings of the Apostle Paul unto the brethren at Colossae, and turn also, he speaks to Laodicea here. And in the second chapter of this book, I want to begin reading at verse 6. And we'll read down through verse 10. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, down through verse 10. Today I've made an effort already to try to speak on the parable of the sower, where the sower went forth to sow the seed, and that's the preaching of the gospel. That's the picture in the parable of the sower. And as the seed was sown, it fell on all kinds and different types of soil. It fell by the wayside. And the seed that fell by the wayside, the birds came and ate up the seed before it had root and was able to do anything. And that was a picture, as the Lord told us in that parable. And a parable is where you're given a natural truth that teaches a spiritual lesson. The Lord used parables to teach His children. He used it to teach His children and to hide these things from the world. These things are hidden from the wise and prudent, and they're revealed unto babes. The things we're enjoying tonight are not just given to everyone. They're given to God's little children, and He gives them in such a way that the wisdom of this world can't see it. And the man of the world doesn't want to see it and can't see it. And the little child of God that tries to operate in the wisdom of this world won't see it either. And the danger is tonight, as we hear, and from the parable of the sower, you learn this, is that we need to take heed how we hear. That we're hearing, asking God to open up our hearing. And that we're listening, asking God to give us the interest, give us the hunger, give us the thirst. Lord, give us a desire to know more of Thy Word. Lord, give me a hunger to study my Bible. Lord, when it comes time to come to church, Lord, give me a heart to pray. Don't let me take one single meeting or one single sermon or one single time that Thou hast blessed me to have in this world to set unto the sound of the gospel. Don't let me take it for granted. But Lord, cause me to have my full interest and attention turned upon the things of God. And Lord, don't let me look at that silly looking preacher who's in the pulpit. But let me look to the Lord who has the power to bless that silly looking preacher if He sees fit to, with words that will be a benefit to me. Let me not look to my brother or my sister in the pew and think they can give me something that only he can give me, or any minister that might come in that he's the one that can give me what I need, or anyone I might tune in on the television set or online or wherever. May I recognize tonight, may every one of us recognize tonight, we need Him. He's the one, if I'm going to get fed, He's going to feed me. He's the one who blesses the under-shepherd as the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the one who blesses the under-shepherd to rightly divide the word of truth, to be able to share with you. And then as the preacher preaches, the faith that he has is revealed to the faith that you have. And who's the author of my faith? The Lord. And who's the author of your faith? The Lord. In other words, if we're going to learn tonight and we're going to grow, it's not going to be like the way a fifth grade teacher would teach a classroom. It'll be by the power and the work of Almighty God. Y'all believe that tonight? If we don't believe that and we think it's something we're doing, we might as well be, we're wasting our time. The scripture says all is vain. And really the songwriter says that, but it's based in scripture. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So what do we need to do tonight? Number one, pray. Pray, Lord, be with us. Lord, bless us. Let us not be like the seed by the wayside where we hear the word and take it for granted. We just showed up just to see if we could be entertained. We just showed up just to see what the preacher might have to say. And we listened to his word, but we may not understand it. And when we don't understand it, rather than begging God, open up my understanding, and searching God's word to figure out what was taught, the old devil comes in, and that which was sown in our heart is ripped away. You think he can rob you? Listen, he's a master thief. And he'll come in right in a meeting. He'll come into the pulpit with a preacher. He'll come into the pew with a faithful member. And we're not talking about those that were not God's children. The reason I know that is because we may be on the parable of the sower tonight again. And for those who were with me earlier, well, just come along again. He may come along. He'll come along in a pew and rob it in your heart where it's been sown in your heart. And the Word was right. You know how I know the Word was right? Because everything in this book is right. And if a preacher preaches the Word, that is, he comes from the Bible and he reads this and the Lord blesses him to preach, it may be something at the moment you don't understand. And when you don't understand it, listen, just pray and ask the Lord to open up your understanding. And it may be on Wednesday that he gave you what the preacher preached on Sunday. And you may have had this on your mind even last Wednesday. And the Lord blessed him to preach on it. He didn't have a clue what was on your mind or what was in your heart. But God, our God, as the hymn writer wrote, moves in mysterious ways, does he not? His wonders to perform. And if the seed is sown, and it's sown by the wayside, that means it's just thrown out there on the ground. That means we haven't prepared our hearts. We haven't dug up the ground. We haven't done the things that a farmer would do to prepare the ground. We haven't done what the Lord requires of us. Now let me say this, just to make sure you understand. If God doesn't open your eye and your ear and your heart, it doesn't matter what you do. You'll not see it, you'll not hear it, and you'll not understand it. But if you've been born of the Spirit, you've been given by the grace of God an eye to see and an ear to hear and a heart to understand the things of God. You've been given that. That was God's gift to you. And there is some cultivating that you and I need to do. There is some labor that you and I need to do to put on what God has given us, to put on our gospel shoes, to carry the sword of the Spirit, to walk into the battles of life with the Word of God as the sword that we're carrying, and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and go forward in this world and let our light as a little child of God shine in this world. You've been called to do that. Now, a little child of God can be in rebellion and can be in disobedience and still be a little child of God. But he's not honoring and glorifying the Lord. And he's not happy. He's brokenhearted and he needs help. You ever been there where you're not happy and you're brokenhearted and you need help? And you want to hear from the Word of God where your help is from and who's it from? And it's from the Lord. And then the Word of God comes and it helps you. It gives you salve for your wounds. It gives you strength. It gives you direction. It gives you where you ought to be and what you ought to be doing. And that comes from the Lord. And we hear that from His Word. No, we don't want to be like the wayside hearers, where the devil, we just have him so close. That's because we're not resisting him. Sometimes it's because we're not even aware he's bothering us. You know, he doesn't come in. Like one preacher said, he doesn't come in his red jumpsuit with his horns and his pitchfork and says, "I'm the devil, let me sit down." No, he comes in and he sits down beside you and you don't even hardly know that he's there. And when the Word comes, that's when he comes in and he rips it away. You know why? Because he wants you to be miserable. Even when he went into a herd of swine, he took them over into the sea and they were drowned. He doesn't do a pig good. Much less will he do God's little children any good. Now, can he take your eternal destiny? Oh, I'm glad to tell you tonight, be thankful that your names are written in heaven. You know what that means? Every name that's written in heaven is going to be in heaven with him one sweet day, because Jesus loved them so much that he came and died for them, that every sin they'd ever committed, even the sin of unbelief, even the sin of not resisting the devil, even the sin of not letting your light so shine, even the sin of being disobedient, every sin that we'd ever committed was placed upon him. And on Calvary, he died for that sin. He took it in his own body and he nailed it to the tree of the cross. And the Bible tells us it's never to be remembered against us anymore. It's cast as far from us as the east is from the west. And every one of God's little children, without the loss of one, will be with him in heaven and immortal glory. This is about how we're listening tonight to the Word that's being preached. That wayside here just comes in and says, "Let's see what happens." Hasn't studied, hasn't searched, hasn't begged. Just comes in and sits down. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I surely don't want to be raising my hands. But have there been times that you've come to the church and been there and it's just been, okay, I'm here, I've gotten here, I've done, I'm here. But it's just putting in the time. And then we leave sometimes saying, well, I sure didn't get much out of that. The old devil will come in and rob you. Don't let him rob you tonight. Remember that. He's right there. Then the one that sowed the seed on the stony ground. Remember, the stony ground didn't have much depth and root. And so when the seed was sown on the stony ground, because it was rocky and on the rock and on the stone, because there were things in our lives that are hindering the word and hindering the growth, and we've not cultivated the ground. We haven't done those things that God commands us in His word to do. Again, if the Lord doesn't bless you, you won't do any of those things. You won't be concerned about any of those things. And it's all of that's by grace. And that's what our text will tell us, if I get to it. It'll tell us it's by grace. It starts with grace and it continues with grace. But there is a duty and a responsibility for you and I to be listening to the Word of God. Is it important for us to be here? I think all of us would say absolutely it's important for us to be here. But it's not just important that we show up, but that we pray, dear Lord, please remove from my life and from my heart anything that hinders Thy Word to take seed and bring forth fruit to perfection in my life. Lord, supply what I need. And you know how many of us have some things that need to be rooted out of our lives? Don't want to burst your bubble tonight. But I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about you, dear brother, dear sister. We all have some things that we need to labor and work in our lives that hinder the Word from taking seed and growing to the way in the way that it ought to. And the Lord is telling us in His Word that we're to be careful how we hear His Word. When we come to the house of God, we need to come hungry, desiring as little newborn babes the sincere milk of the Word so that we might grow thereby. It's important that the Word is preached, but it's also important that the Word is listened to. And it's not only important, according to James, that we be hearers of the Word. He said, don't be hearers of the Word, but to also be doers of the Word. And so we're to take and put into application that which we have heard. Those also there were that were sown as the seed that was sown on thorny ground. So the ground was not good, but it had thorns. And when the seed, when it started to grow, the thorns overwhelmed it. And he's talking to those who had cares of this world, who had riches, who loved the pleasures of this world, and they allowed those things to enter in. I ask you sometimes, do those things enter in when you're sitting and listening to the sound of the gospel? Oh, I've sat in some meetings. I can think of some meetings in the past where I sat there and I know the preacher preached good because I looked around and saw all the brethren crying. I saw them moved by the Spirit of God. I saw in their lives some of them bringing forth, as we said this morning, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. They brought forth fruit to perfection. I saw them happy in the Lord. Isn't it good to be at a meeting when everyone's happy in the Lord? Oh, it's especially good if you're happy with them. But it really gets to be difficult when you go, I just can't feel it like I once felt it. Sometimes it's because I've got my mind and my thoughts on so much of all the cares. Even this list that I read in your hearing. I get a phone call and some brother's got something. Or some little sister's lost a loved one. Or some brother seems to be in trouble. Or some little sister is in the nursing home and sick and can't get better. And some of this and some of that. And the next thing you know, if I just look at that and based on what I can do about it, you can get down and you get discouraged. And then you hear something from your family and this is going on. And the next thing you know, that's going on. If you bring that in with you, it can rob you. And another thing that can rob you is when you get concerned about the things of this world and the riches and the pleasures of this world, and they come in and they can rob you from the service. What we're to do, how do we handle all of that? You know, the Bible tells us what to do. He says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Y'all believe that tonight? Y'all believe the Lord cares for you? I believe He cared enough for you to die for you on Calvary. I believe He cared enough for you to send this wonderful Savior. I believe He cared enough for you to quicken you from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. I believe He cared enough for you to take you from being darkness and made you light in the Lord. And then He cared enough for you to tell you to walk as children of light. Then He cared enough for you to set you as a city on a hill that cannot be hid. Then He cared enough for you to say, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's how much Jesus cares. So how do I get rid of all these concerns and these heartaches? I cast them by the grace of God upon the Lord. Now listen, He's going to tell us here, you can't do that on your own. But by the grace of God, you can do things that you have no idea. The power that worketh in you in the Lord. You can have joy on your job that you look at as a miserable place to go to. Is this pie in the sky? Am I wasting my time tonight? I don't believe so. I believe you as God's little children need to remember this when I'm facing trouble in this world. Need to remember this when I'm going to the house of God. Lord, help me feed on Thy Word. Lord, let me remember what Thou hast done for me. Lord, help me be thankful every day. Lord, when the news comes back and it's not so good, let me remember, even if I leave this world, like a dear brother told me tonight and had said in the past, I'm in a win-win situation. If the Lord leaves me here in this world and heals me, that's a good thing. But if He carries me home to glory, there's a better place for me to be with the Lord's people in heaven and with Jesus and to see Him face to face. Y'all believe this tonight, don't you? You know why you can believe it? Because He put it in your heart. You know how you know it? He placed it in your heart. And you know what you and I are supposed to do about that? We can't do anything to get it in there. But we ought to let it out. We ought to let it shine. We ought to be like that wild Gadarene who was told, you go home to your friends and you tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. That man was in trouble. And the Lord Jesus Christ came where he was. And when he finished with him, he had him clothed and in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And all he wanted to do is stay right where Jesus was. And Jesus said, no, I've got something for you to do. You go tell everyone how great things the Lord had done for them. You go tell your friends. I'm thankful to have friends tonight. We can talk to one another. We sang it together, didn't we? I love you. I'm thankful we can sing what a friend we have in Jesus. And know we have such a friend. I'm thankful that we have good news for those who have jobs they don't like. And good news for sicknesses we can't fix. And good news when the problems seem to be so big and so great. Because the God who created the heavens and the earth is our Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will take care of you. The hymn writer wasn't writing something that wasn't the truth. God will take care of you. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches over His own. Have faith in God. He cannot fail. Have faith in God. He must prevail. We believe that tonight, don't we? That gets right down to how we live and how we act and how we operate. And when you and I walk in this world, and we can, in doubt and in fear and listen to the world and the troubles of the world and quench the spirit and don't let our light so shine, what do? We don't change God, but we surely don't give Him the glory that He surely deserves. Do. May the Lord help me. And may we help one another. May we remind one another. When I get weary, may you be faithful to remind me, brother, remember what Jesus has done for thee. And when you're weary, may I be faithful to say, sister, remember who's in control and what He's done for thee. And remember, one day by the grace of God, he has promised that we will be with him in heaven and immortal glory. And while we're here in this world, whatever the storm, whatever the problem, whatever the trial, whatever the trouble, we have a friend in Jesus who's going to carry us through that storm. We're going to get to the other side because he said we're going. And really, we ought to be, as we said before, just enjoying the ride. Let's read the text. I probably said about as much as I'm going to say about it, but let's read it because it's good. It's good. And I'm not making promises on that. Verse 6. Colossians 2. He says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. I thought about that statement. How is it that we've received Christ Jesus the Lord? Did we make the choice? Or did he make the choice? Did we choose him or did he choose us? Over in the writings of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, he tells us, you know, about those that were boasting in what they had. He says, what do you have that you have not received? What is it that you have that you have not received? Why then do you boast about that which you were given? In other words, how is it that we receive Jesus Christ the Lord? I'm telling you, he awakened us from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. He's the one who's made us light in the Lord. He's the one by his grace that we know him and we embrace him and we love him because he first loved us. Is that not the truth? That's the truth. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That means, how can I walk pleasing to the Lord? By the same grace that caused you to see and know him, he gives you that grace to be able to walk in a way to honor and glorify him. He gives you the ability to do what you cannot do. He goes on and he says, we are to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. To be rooted in him is to realize I have no roots in me. I must look to him for what I stand in need of. And I want to be rooted in his love. I want to be grounded in him. I want to be built up in him. And established in the faith. And he says, as ye have been taught. Notice. Does this involve instruction from the word of God? Yes, it does. How can we walk faithfully to him? By heeding his word and what he teaches. As we have been taught. We are to use and apply in our lives the things that we're taught from the pulpit. And he says, rooted and built up in him. We become established in the faith. That is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, of what he has done for us and how we're supposed to live. And he says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So tonight we're not just to come and just have the preaching happen to us, but we're to abound in it. In other words, the Lord, don't let me just be an inactive listener, but let me be active. Let me be praying. Let me be praying for the brother. Let me be praying for the preaching. Let me be praying for my hearing. Let this be as much an activity that I do as the minister. May each one of the members labor as well as the minister labor in the preaching of the gospel. Your labor is different, but you have just as much a responsibility as the minister that stands before you. And that is praying and looking to the Lord. And then he goes on and he says, we're to abound with thanksgiving. Boy, do we have a lot to be thankful for. And then he says, beware lest any man spoil you, that is, rob you, through philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy in this text means worldly learning. In other words, the things that the world would teach, the ways of the world. There's a way that the world would tell us to live. I'll tell you, you want to see a little child of God sick? You let him try to go to the ways of the world to find his happiness and his joy and his peace. You just have him go that direction. Oh, it will not be good for a little child of grace. Can a little child of God do that? Absolutely. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Vain deceit. Vain means empty and deceit means lies. Empty lies. This world is filled with men who give and lay out empty lies. you do this, you do that, and you'll find joy and rest and peace. You beware of anything that doesn't come from this book. This is to be our guide. This is to be our counsel. This is to be that which truly furnishes us. Man may start off by saying, yeah, I believe the Bible, but I want you to also look at this book, and I want you to follow this way, and I want you to just add a little bit here and a little bit there. It's a good book, but it doesn't cover everything. You just add a little bit of this. You know how much leaven it takes to leaven the whole lump? Just a tad, just a bit. Brethren, we're to follow what's taught in God's Word. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. Nope. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. He tells us here clearly, if any man teach otherwise, that is, other than the word of God, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, that means he's a fool. He knows nothing but doting, which word means sick. He's sick about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. He says, from such withdraw thyself. That's very clear, isn't it? In other words, what are we to follow? What is to be our guide? What is to be our direction? How are we to build our lives? We're to take the Word of God. Jesus said, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of the world, after the rudiments of the world. That's the ABCs of the world. There's rules that the world goes by. God's little children are not to follow their rules. We're to follow this rule. This Bible is our rule of faith and practice. This Bible is what directs us in our personal lives, in our church life, in our family life. This Bible is where we go to get what's the truth. And when we add to that or take from that, we do it to our own hurt and detriment. He goes on and he says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Which simply tells us that tonight what we need as the head of our church is the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need in the head of our home is the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need in the head of our personal lives is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to take the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that a wise man is one who digs deep and builds his house upon a rock. And when the storms come and the winds blow and the rains descend, the house is going to stand because it's built upon a rock. And that rock is Christ. And these are the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us to heed them and to follow them and to live by them. Not just be hearers of his word, but as much as we can to be doers of his word, and let our light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we do that, you're the salt of the earth. He says, though if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? When does the salt lose its savor? When God's little children cease to follow his word. Ye are the light of the world. When are we the light of the world? When we follow his word. When we put it in place in our lives. When we live what we believe. That's why when he tells us put on the whole armor of God, part of that armor is really almost all of it goes back to the word. It goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this word testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about putting on what he's taught us in his word. Not again to become his child, but because we are his child. And we ought to live to glorify and honor him. I appreciate your kind attention. Kind of been all over the place tonight and gone over time, but I appreciate you listening. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.